Let's take it to the boxing PhD, of course, come to us from the Bronx to talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer. What's up, Mr. Palmer?
Hey, how's it going, P?
Been doing just fine, man. Let's talk about last week's fight. Navarrete, pluses, negatives. What's your outlook on that?
Amanda Navarrete continues to be just a buzzsaw. I mean, the only thing that has slowed Navarrete down was COVID-19. You know, at one point he was fighting, it seemed like every other month. He is a very impressive individual. He's definitely not someone that if you're working with a young amateur, you're going to say, listen, let's study this guy. This is how you do it, because he throws punches from all different angles, and it's not the something you would find in a fundamental book, a boxing fundamentals book, but he gets the job done. You know, okay. He can punch. He throws a lot of punches from just all over the place. He's got a good chin, and right now he's definitely the best at his weight class until proven otherwise.
What does Bob Arum say? He's the best fighter, and he's a Mexican. And Bob, you know, Bob's pushing the Mexican. They're trying to say he's better than Canelo. Of course, Canelo was the pound-for-pound king going May the 8th against undefeated Billy Joe Saunders at 168 pounds. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Last week, we had two cards on the same day in Rhode Island, the boxing hotbed that is Rhode Island. And tonight, there's like 11 fights in Wyoming. I mean, 11 fights in Wyoming. What's going on here? Are these promotional companies like Triller and people like that, are they taking cards to obsolete venues and airing them? Is this what's going on here?
Well, I don't know if those states have more laxed COVID capacity. Maybe that could be something to do with it. I'm sure the venues are a lot cheaper than renting on Madison Square Garden, let's say. I'm sure that has something to do with it, the dollars and cents. But it's pretty cool. I mean, like you said, Wyoming is not the hotbed for boxing. And if you get a live show out there, I'm sure there will be people that would love to go and see it.
Hey, you know the best fighter pound for pound in all of Wyoming, right?
Buffalo Bill?
Liz Cheney.
Liz Cheney. Liz what? Cheney, Dick Cheney's wife?
No, but, no, his daughter.
Oh, his daughter, right.
She's heavyweight, man. No, she's mean. That's a tough, tough mama. She's smart as well. Of course, boxing is alive and well. Now, Floyd Mayweather is going to take on a guy by the name of Logan Paul. Evidently, he's related to Jake Paul. I knew who Jake Paul was because I saw something. He knocked out Ben Askren last week. Of course, Ben Askren went down like a sack of potatoes. He was a wrestler. They might as well put a juggler in there with this guy Paul. I mean, Chris Paul. They might as well put a juggler in there instead of. I mean, this guy, he couldn't throw hands. He couldn't throw hands. So he's not a hand thrower. He's a kicker and a wrestler, and he gets knocked out in the blink of an eye, and everybody's jumping up and down. Is this good for boxing, or is this not?
What can I say? I mean, is it good for boxing? I'm kind of indifferent to it. You know, I mean, I watched it, obviously, but. You know, so that way I know what people are talking about the next day. It's not something that's going to overshadow real fights. Like, it's not going to be something that people are going to talk in comparison to when Canelo Alvarez fights or Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. I mean, it has its own niche. I understand that it brought a certain audience that otherwise would have no interest in boxing. And I think it's actually good for the sport. You know, I'm kind of always under the philosophy of that, some attention is better than no attention. And even some bad publicity is better than no publicity.
True. But if anybody outside of Floyd Mayweather was involved, I'd sort of say right on, but it's Mayweather and I don't like him. I think he should just go away. I thought he was a bad dream for boxing. And this is why I say this, you know, if he'd have been a porn star, if he'd have been in porno movies, there would have been no money shots with Mayweather. Like Larry Merchant said, the excitement stops when the bell rings.
Listen, hey, you know what? You're right. He is a very dislikable person. For various reasons, one of which, some of his fights. I mean, if you ever have insomnia, you could pop in one of his tapes. You know, for a lot of times, it's a circus. Now, I don't want to act like if I have insomnia, because there have been these type of circus fights before. Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. I mean, he fought Antonio Inoki.
Ooh,
and I believe he had an exhibition with Lalzado.
You know, damaged him greatly, man. That fight with the Japanese guy, that really messed Ali's legs up. His legs and his hips were bleeding. I mean, it was ugly. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
You know, so, you know, we've seen this before. Floyd, you know, is not the first and it won't be the last. You know, it's a shame because you see Floyd from the outside. He keeps himself in immaculate shape. And if he's going to get into the ring, you would like for him to fight someone like that actually has a chance of competing against him. You know, it is what it is. I mean, there's a lot of Mayweather fanatics that are going to watch anyway. And
all right,
it is what it is.
I got to cut you off right there. I got to cut you off because you said Mayweather fanatics. Why would somebody be so enamored with a guy that doesn't go for the kill, that doesn't knock people out, that really isn't exciting, that sort of boxes in a boorish, almost Cuban, like a modified Cuban amateur style?
You know, okay, it's like music. You know, it's subjective. You know, some people like that, you know, that artistry. Some people are enamored with the whole undefeated record that he has and the whole marketing of TBE and TBT and whatever. You know, it's... there's a niche for it, you know, and I appreciate Floyd Mayweather's greatness, but I can also, you know, see through the BS that he's put a lot of real fight fans through. I can always go by the fact that he ducked Antonio Margarito back in the day. You know, he never unified a division. You know, like there's a lot of stuff you could really nitpick at his career. But, you know, he fought guys at, you know, Shane Mosley when he was, you know, past his prime. So you can nitpick on Floyd Mayweather. Obviously, the record, it is what it is. If you want to call him the best fighter of all time, that's your opinion. But I think he is far from it.
Okay. You know, it's pretty obvious. You know, every time I look at these Facebook pages, they're always ripping Canelo. And they're black guys ripping Canelo. And then if you look at their posts, they're also like Floyd. They're like Trumplicans. They're Floyd fanatics, and they're knocking Canelo, and they're spending all this time knocking Canelo, and I'm wondering why there's like this group of people on the internet that are just going out of their way to knock Canelo and things like that. You know, well, he beat him in 2013 and this and that. Well, it isn't, you know, that isn't today. Anyway, Floyd Mayweather, I don't think can live up to the or to the accomplishments of people like Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns. And, I mean, he might have been able to do okay with Benitez, but outside of that, I think those guys would have beat him. And of course, he would have never stepped up and fought Marvin Hagler. He didn't have that intestinal fortitude. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. Of course, open phone lines all around the planet. Once again, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no commitment text line. You can text me here in the studio. The number 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Well, fans, our main event features a WBA heavyweight world title eliminator. Now we invite our fighters to the stage. First, with 33 knockouts and his 38 victories, the hard-hitting warrior from Riverside, California, Chris the Nightmare Areola. And now introducing his opponent with a record of 33 wins and 2 losses, 22 wins coming by way of knockout. Here is boxing's first heavyweight champion of Mexican heritage from Imperial Valley, California, Andy the Destroyer Ruiz. Well, fans, this WBA heavyweight world title eliminator scheduled 12 rounds of boxing. First to the scale at this time, the hard-hitting world-ranked contender, Chris the Nightmare Arreola. 228.5 pounds, 228.5 pounds for Chris the Nightmare Arreola. And now his opponent, ready to step onto the scale, the former unified heavyweight champion of the world, the new Andy the Destroyer Ruiz.
256 pounds
for Andy Ruiz. 256 pounds.
Andy Ruiz, of course, the former world heavyweight champion, started training for that second fight with Anthony Joshua, of course, at 320 pounds, came in like 283, weighed in at 256 pounds. Now, the question is, and I've got a split-screen picture up on the Twitch.tv sports byline screen right now, of course, a picture of Andy Ruiz when he fought Anthony Joshua the second time, and a picture of Andy Ruiz last week, taken for Fox. Now, I've got questions coming in for Socrates Palmer, of course, Boxing's PhD, coming to us from the Bronx. And the first one is, Soc, I hope you're ready for this one. Did Andy Ruiz get plastic surgery?
No, I don't think so.
No?
You mean like gastric bypass? Or?
No. What I meant was, did they cut the fat away from the side of you and that kind of stuff? They go in there and they suck the fat out?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, it's very hard to keep a secret these days, you know, with so many media outlets. I think if Andy, you know, went to Dr. Tommy Tuck or, you know, I think he would have already been outed by now. No, I think Andy got his weight down the old-fashioned way by working hard in the gym. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Of course, Chris Arreola hasn't fought since 2019, losing to Adam Konacki, of course, in 12 rounds. And before that, he had rolled up a couple of wins against, you know, ho-hum type of guys. And he lost to Wilder, of course, was stopped in the eighth round with Deontay Wilder in 2016. What does Arreola bring to the dance here? Or is he just an opponent?
I believe he brings to the dance some heart. I think he's going to give an honest effort, but at this stage in his career, he's done. You know, his punch resistance, I'm sure, is not what it used to be. I think it's a little too late in this stage in the game for Chris Arreola. You wish he would have taken his career seriously about 5 years ago. You know, we probably wouldn't be speaking about him the way we are today. I think he's a good comeback fight for Andy Ruiz. He's a guy that he's not going to have to look for him. You know, Arreola's not a guy who's going to hold. He's going to give an honest effort. Okay. And I think he's going to make Andy Ruiz really shine and get people back to, you know, thinking about him as a top three or four heavyweight in the world.
Okay. Speaking of old heavyweights, I'll bring up an old heavyweight here. Derek Chisora, long in the tooth, taking on Joseph Parker, a guy that never really did anything for me. I have to put it to you, he never did anything for me. Of course, he was a former WBO heavyweight champion. Of course, they're going on the zone from across the pond. Chisora and Parker, is Parker going to roll over the old man here, or is the old man going to bring some fire?
Well, the old man always brings the fire. You know, that's one thing. He is a great for television fighter. You know, he's great for press conferences too. He's always angry at the world. You know, I think that he probably may not have a full deck, you know, because he's really like nuts sometimes. But I think at 37 years of age, it's a lot to ask for. He's definitely been in some wars. He's been stopped before. He's not the hardest person to not hit. I believe that Joseph Parker is the better boxer of the two. And like much like you, I've never been awed by Joseph Parker. I've never said to myself watching this guy like, whoa, you know, I'm watching, you know, one of the best heavyweights in the world. That just something about him. He's got a great look. You know, he's got a great PR team behind him when he was coming up. But he's always falling short, you know, and he had the two losses back to back with Anthony Joshua and Dillian White. And he's ran off a couple of wins against, you know, subpar competition last time out against Fa. And he wasn't, you know, that impressive either. So, okay. But it should be an interesting fight. I have to lean towards Parker just simply because of age.
Who is Craig Richards?
Craig Richards.
He's taking on Dimitri Bivol. I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at Bivol supposed to be the guy at 175, but how come Dimitri Bivol isn't a household name among boxing fans, even though he's undefeated?
You know, he is a very sharp fighter. He's not the most exciting. I know that he had fought on HBO a couple of times. You know, he just doesn't knock people out like the way, you know, most guys at that weight class that get attention do. He did stop Sullivan Barrero, who's very good. And I think inactivity, that's probably the biggest enemy. He didn't fight all of last year due to COVID, like many fighters. But he's got good wins. You look at his resume, he beat John Pascal, Joe Smith. He's a very good light heavyweight, arguably in the mix between him and Beterbiev, who are the best fighters at that weight class.
Okay, real quick, Roy, I'm going to cut you off. Joe Smith, did Joe Smith get a gift a couple weeks ago? Yes or no?
I believe he got some home cooking, yes.
Oh, boxing.
And I like Joe.
Huh?
And I like Joe a lot, but I think that fight could have been a draw at worst.
Oh, I'm looking here. I'm looking at the odds here. Floyd Mayweather is a 500-1 opened a 500-1 favorite over this guy Logan Paul. Now he's a 200-1 favorite. Does that mean people are betting money on Logan Paul?
I guess. Well, Logan has a big family, you know, and maybe his parents, and I think he's from Ohio.
19.1 million Instagram followers.
Hey, I can't knock the hustle, man. This is 2021. He's an influencer. He's a very popular individual. I didn't know about him up until a couple of years ago when he fought the other influencer, KSI, and he lost, by the way. I mean, it is what it is, man. I'm hoping just to ignore it and it'll go away.
Okay. And, talking about Edgar Berlanga, what did you think of him going 8 rounds?
I think it was good. I think it was good for him. Once again, I'm not really impressed by him. You know, I think he's definitely got holes in his game, but he is going to be an exciting fighter for fight fans because he is brute strength. Woo! and he's going to be right in front of you. But I believe he will fall short of a world title, from what I see.
He's improved as far as, obviously, you know, going the 8 rounds versus 1. But he just looked very green as far as his footwork, concerned, him being able to cut people off, that kind of good stuff. Anyway, Socrates Palmer, always a pleasure. Say hi to the family.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, live on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Back after the break.